Hello, welcome to Locked On Suns, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Sider, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Brennan Clean. You can follow me on Twitter, at eSider. You can follow Brennan on Twitter, at BrennanClean14. Also, make sure to follow Locked On Suns Twitter page, at Locked On PHX Suns. Your support over there is very much appreciated. We have a special guest today joining us as well for our season predictions episode. We are less than 24 hours before Suns basketball, and Max McCauley of the 7 Seconds or Less podcast is joining us today. Max, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I mean, how could you be an NBA fan and not do great right now? It's the most exciting part of the year.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the games today?
Yeah, I was actually going to say something about that really quickly. If I was a betting man, I would bet. I don't know what the MVP odds are on Ben Simmons or not, but I think it's pretty low, like almost 1,000. He looks like a sleeper MVP candidate. He looked really good.
He's so fun to watch. Like, as he continues to get more comfortable and knows, like, what he's able to do, it's going to be scary. I mean, and that's even not assuming he shoots, but he's so fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't think he really needs to shoot. Like he needs to shoot threes, but he needs to be able to make like a reasonable amount of free throws. It's still kind of embarrassing to watch him shoot free throws.
That's true.
And I think he's going to be an MVP candidate for sure going forward. I'm a little nervous about that team. I mean, I think they're going to be good and make the playoffs easily in the East, but man, they have some issues in offense, don't they? They're really junked up in the half court.
Hey, your guy Landry Shamet, though, Max, got some rotation minutes tonight.
I think they desperately need a shooter out there.
Yeah, he's going to play. They have no choice.
Alrighty, yeah, I guess we should just dive right into it. I know our first segment today is going to be over the rotation as far as preview and how that goes as far as the trade deadline goes, because when you think about it, there's so many expiring contracts and so many young guys on this roster that odds are there is going to be a move made, especially when you think that Jamal Crawford is the band-aid that the Suns are apparently going to use a point guard temporarily. But let me throw it your way first, Brendan. What's your overall expectations with the rotation, especially heading into between now and February?
Yeah, well, I mean, December 15th is the first deadline we have to look at, right? Because that's when guys that got signed this summer can be dealt. So guys on one-year deals on the Suns and elsewhere are going to be part of the conversation in a way that they haven't been up to this point. Not that I necessarily have a target in mind as that goes on another team, but it just opens up a lot more. So I think maybe because we saw the Crawford signing happen and he seems to be somebody who they trust to be a playmaker in whatever capacity, I guess we'll kind of see tomorrow and as the season gets going, really what he's doing and how much he's playing. But I think that to me, that kind of spelled at least momentarily a pause on the aggressive trade discussions. And maybe it'll be December 15th before we really hear them ramp up again. What do you guys think? I mean, am I overestimating Crawford and it's just going to be a stopgap veteran guy, or do you actually think that I'm maybe right and we're going to kind of have a pause here for the next couple months?
No, Brendan, I definitely think you're right. And I don't necessarily think it's because the Suns feel settled. I think it's more because the Suns got stonewalled. There were a couple of reports today about how we were trying to get, you know, TJ McConnell for a second and got declined. I think a couple other ones came out. Dinwiddie, I think I saw Corey Joseph, Patrick Beverley. It's just no one's looking to trade a starting quality point guard right now with seasons of just starting. You don't trade good point guards right now.
Yeah, you don't know what you have yet.
Exactly. You need to make sure that you have a solid, you know, play there, because the Suns aren't going to have it and we're going to be really bad because of it. So I think you're targeting the right thing. It's going to be later. And I do think the Suns are going to make a big trade this season almost because they kind of have to. Sarver kind of showed his hand by firing Ryan McDonough. I think the patient approach is over. I think that's not where we're going. And if I'm going to throw a wild prediction out there, I think there's a decent chance the Suns trade for Kevin Love later this season. Oh. I think Zach Lowe predicted that Kevin Love would be traded. Evan, I know you on my podcast predicted that Kevin Love would be traded. Seems that I think the Suns are going to realize they're not really a free agent destination this summer when they're not very good, and realize, hey, we can go grab Kevin Love. He'll probably be putting up numbers in Cleveland, not a lot around him. That just seems like something the Suns could really kind of easily do and also sell to their fan base.
Yeah, and they have like a third as much money as all the other teams that are equally bad, even though they have maybe a brighter future. Like, they don't have two max slots, and there's really not an easy way to get to two max slots like there is in so many other cities. But what did you think of McConnell, Evan?
Really quickly, though, on the Kevin Love thing that Max mentioned, I just want to say, for people that don't know about that, him and James Jones are really good friends. Kevin Love called him his favorite teammate of all time. So that actually makes a ton of sense, Max. That wouldn't shock me at all, using like a guy like TJ Warren around deadline. But going to your point there, Brennan, about TJ McConnell, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Elfrid Payne situation last year, where, and especially a little bit, probably an escalated level here, because teams around the league aren't just going to give up a good point guard just for a second round pick, because they know the Suns are desperate. They're going to want at least a protected first round pick, I believe, in any deal now. So the Suns, and of course, Robert Sarver fired Ryan McDonough, indicate something's going to happen sometime down the line. But until they give up a first round pick, I think the Suns are kind of screwed here, because no one's going to help them out in this situation, especially in a deep Western conference.
Yeah, I like McConnell. I actually think, I mean, I know you're not necessarily saying like player wise that that's the same thing, more of a the situation that the Suns are in, but I think McConnell is a really solid fit next to Booker. And again, a guy who's going into free agency, so you have some flexibility there where you're not tied to him long term. I really like that idea, but again, it's like, it seems like Robert Sarver wants to get a good player and not give up anything good to get a good player, and that's not a recipe for success.
Now, let me throw out these scenarios your way, because if we're looking closer to the deadline, one guy that was reported, we touched on yesterday's show as well, Brennan, but I want to get your thoughts first, Max, about Terry Rozier, that John Gamdaro, like he reported back in August when he initially mentioned Terry Rozier and Damian Lillard. According to Gambo, Ryan McDonough and James Jones, most recently in the past week, try to get Terry Rozier from Boston. Obviously, Danny Ainge doesn't want to give him up, it seems like, at least for a super high price, because they're in a title contention. So what's your overall thoughts on Rozier and his fit in the Suns uniform? And would you actually try to pull a trigger early before free agency?
Yeah, I really like Terry Rozier. The issue here is just that, why would Boston trade him? You kind of alluded to this. Like, Boston has the possibility of having five first-round picks next year. It's possible, given all the future trades they have coming, and one of those is the Kings pick in all likelihood. So they're not really hurting for future assets. They have a bunch of young stars. They're kind of trying to win now. It doesn't really make a lot of sense for them to trade Terry Rozier for what the Suns have, which is, you know, a bunch of young guys who aren't very good yet, other than Booker and Ayton, and they're not obviously trading Booker and Ayton. I suppose you could make some sort of a three-way trade where Rozier comes to the Suns give young assets to another team, and the other team trades a good player to Boston of a different position, but that just sounds especially hard to work, you know, this at this time of the year. So I'm not surprised they couldn't get Rozier. I'd be happy with Rozier, but I think we're going to have to wait until restricted free agency next summer if that's an option.
Yeah, I personally think that I'm okay with paying Rozier. I think there's some upside that's untapped there, especially in the situation where he's paired with a guy like DeAndre Ayton and pick and roll, and then Devin Booker off the ball, Josh Jackson, and Mikal Bridges, they're both still around. But
he was a plus 22 today.
Yeah,
he was better than Kyrie today, man.
Rozier was a plus 22 in 27 minutes. That's wild. I didn't even notice that until right now.
What do you think about his upside, Brennan? Do you think that if he came to a team like Phoenix and you saw him tonight, just factoring that in a little bit, do you think there is some untapped upside with him that he could be a fringe all-star guy if he's developed correctly?
I don't quite know if he gets to that level. I think we would have seen an even higher peak from him last year when he had that opportunity, but I definitely think he's obviously not in a great situation for himself just to grow to in this on this team. Like, he's backing up one of the 10 or 15 best players in the league, and like Max just said, I think that's exactly what's going on here. Is, first of all, it's impossible to make a deal with Boston that they don't win, because they don't need anything. So that, you know, they don't need to give up Rozier. They don't need whatever they would get back for Rozier. They have such an embarrassment of riches on that team. They can play him 12 minutes and okay, whatever. Just then that's 12 minutes of awesome point guard play, and Kyrie will play 36 minutes. That doesn't matter to them. They're totally comfortable with that, with the rotation shaking out that way. And if they lose Rozier for nothing next summer, then like you said too, Max, they'll have five chances or three chances or four chances in the first round next year to just get another guy. And they have plenty of players, you know, Marcus Smart and Kyrie already at that position on their team. So I don't think it makes sense for the Suns to trade for him anytime soon, unless something, you know, something could change, I guess, between now and February. But I think even in free agency next year, he's definitely a guy who makes a lot of sense. The defense would be a question for me, Just we saw him get picked on so badly in the playoffs last year. Now that was LeBron James posting him up, but that's obviously a weakness. He's undersized and not, you know, really super versatile. He's really just a point guard defender and not even a great one at that. So putting him next to Booker is a concern, but obviously he's one of the more talented guys that have been on the Suns list. And especially when you think about who they actually could get, like, sure, Damian Lillard's a lot better than him, but that's probably not going to happen. So I think he's probably near the top of my list, which we've talked about plenty, but it does make it a little more interesting that both GMs that the Suns have had in the last 2 weeks tried to trade for him.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. And it kind of tells you that he might be on the top of their list as far as primary free agent targets go for next summer. But before we go on to our topic about Devin Booker and his all-star chances, let's throw some predictions out there. And I'll start with you, Max. Do you think the Suns make a trade for a point guard before February's trade deadline? And if so, who is it?
Oh, that's really tough. You know, I do think they'll do it. It'll be something super underwhelming. I don't even really have a name for you. Corey Joseph, maybe somebody like that. Somebody who like is way better than who we have now, but probably isn't better than just putting Devin Booker at point guard. Almost because they kind of have to. I mean, if anybody thinks Jamal Crawford's solution, I mean, go look at his career assist numbers, assist percentage numbers, assist server ratio. He's not a passer, even when he was good. So I don't know, man. I think Devin Booker at point guard is probably going to be their best option to February, even if they make a small trade.
Okay. What about you, Brent?
Yeah, I think they do. And I'll do two things here that are not really that smart, but also pretty solid bets, which one of them is to agree with and believe Zach Lowe, who predicted in his what he calls crazy predictions, but are obviously really well-sourced and pretty educated guesses that the Suns would end up with Tyus Jones.
Please.
And
his only...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I want that to happen also, so that's part of my thinking here too. But and the other smart thing I'm going to go ahead and do is bet on continued implosion in the team from the team that plays in Minneapolis. And I think by the end of the season, whatever seems pieced together and nice now is not going to look that way, and that team's going to look a lot different, and some pieces will come loose from whatever that nucleus currently looks like. And I think Tyus could easily be one of those guys. And he makes just so much sense with Booker. So that'll be my guess. And I think that's a small enough deal where the Suns could get it done without really changing the makeup of their roster this year either. So I like it from all angles, really.
I'm going to throw a curveball here. I think that they make a small deal, like Max said, like an Elfrid Payton sort of deal with a second-round pick, because I think that's going to be a thing that plagues them all year long. I think they're trying to preserve Max cast space, like Robert Sarver said, and as you remember, the Burns and Gamba, I think they're going to try to target like Kemba Walker in free agency, maybe try to trade for like Damian Lillard. I might as well, since I don't think a trade will happen, legitimate, a big trade will happen around February's trade deadline, I'm going to throw out a summer trade for you guys and ask your opinion. I tweeted my playoff predictions out on Twitter about an hour ago, and I don't have the Trailblazers making the playoffs. So I think that at that point, Portland's going to blow up, and I think Damian Lillard will be on the open trade market. And I think I told you about this earlier, Brendan, with my proposal. Maybe I didn't, but I'll toss it your way then, Max, first. Mm-hmm. What if the Suns did something like this? Josh Jackson, Mikal Bridges, likely a top 10 first-round pick in 2019, plus the Bucks pick, and probably a protected future first-round pick as well.
It's tough to evaluate that without knowing what Josh Jackson and Mikal Bridges look like this season, particularly Josh Jackson, because, I mean, in the last year, Josh Jackson looked great. He started to turn it around. Looked like he may be, you know, living up to his draft status. Summer league and preseason, not as much. It's just hard. I mean, there's a chance that by the time next summer comes, Josh Jackson's not worth much of anything. And then Mikal Bridges, I mean, we'll see. I think he needs a point guard to succeed. Maybe Booker will help him, but not a lot of encouraging stuff from him in preseason just because, you know, he's not a star kind of prototype. I mean, I think it's possible, but it's more likely he's a 3-and-D guy. So then it really comes down to what are the picks. And if our pick is, you know, top three, it's more likely. If the Bucks pick, you know, if Milwaukee's not as good as we think, they don't look as good, doesn't look at their picks to be as good in 2020, then maybe. But you remember, you're trying to beat the other teams, and I think LA, for example, the LA Lakers are going to be throwing out, you know, big names like Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, who also you kind of have to see how they look this season. But it's just really hard to evaluate trades like that. at this far in advance without knowing what the assets are going to look like. I mean, obviously, I would love more than anything to have Damian Lillard on the team because I freaking love Damian Lillard. And I think Damian Lillard and Devin Booker would be incredible together. It's just Portland's not going to give him away, man. He's really good.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I would just my two cents would be, obviously, we don't know the trade value of those guys a year from now. That is super tough to peg, but even assuming that they kind of progress at a reasonable rate and are decently valuable still, especially Bridges next summer, that removes a lot of what I like about the core going forward and the way that they built around Booker to move two solid wing prospects for a guard who can't defend at a really high level, I think is a worse way to build around Booker. Now that's an incredible all NBA MVP candidate type player. So maybe you just do it anyway, but that would worry me if that was the exact makeup of the deal. And it almost has to be because those are from a player perspective, the Suns' two best assets. So that's kind of the part of the math here too. But another thing with Portland would just be to bring up, as we talk about the potential that Lillard eventually maybe becomes available, the passing of their owner, Paul Allen, that was the guy that Lillard had seemingly had a pretty good relationship with. And what, you know, he met with him pretty famously last year and they talked things over and Lillard wasn't really heard from again, as far as being disgruntled or anything like that. So we don't have any idea what those two's relationship was like, but it is interesting to me to think about how things might change just because of that ownership situation.
Before we go into our all-star Devin Booker discussion, Brent, I know you have some words about our sponsor, MyBookie.
Yeah, well, I mean, first, let's talk about other people who might want to come and sponsor the podcast, too. We've been telling you guys all week about the potential that you guys could be right here where these ads are, telling local listeners about your local business. We're still open to any and all people who want to do that. So just want to keep shouting it out because we've gotten some good feedback early, but we want to keep reaching out to any of you guys who feel like it's a good fit. Obviously, most of our listeners are in Phoenix, so even if it's a smaller business, we want to talk, we want to make a deal. So reach out to us on Twitter, via email, however is best for you guys, and we want to talk. But yes, I do want to tell our listeners about a new sponsor here, MyBookie. Ever since Evan and I started this podcast, people ask us for advice. I had somebody reach out through my mom to talk to me about the Suns the other day. They were like, I heard you host a podcast. What's that all about? What do you think the Suns are going to be like? Usually he was asking too from the perspective of who to bet on if the Suns were going to be better. The truth is, like, I don't know all of that stuff, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with, and that's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is super duper easy to use. All you got to do is lay down some cash and win big today. So what you're going to do to take advantage of our sponsorship is join now, and MyBookie is going to match dollar for dollar your first deposit. You're going to use the promo code LOCKEDON, same as all the other ads, the name of this show, all one word, to activate your offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. And that's as easy as it gets. You play, you win, and you get paid. MyBookie is going to match your first deposit 100% up to $1,000. It doesn't really get much easier than that to bet with the right people and win big. Okay, guys, you want to move on to how realistic it actually is for Devin Booker to be on the All-Star conversation this year?
Real quick, can I interject? I recommend all listeners going to MyBookie, and I heard that the prop for Giannis Antetokounmpo over-under points is 26.5. Take the over on that. Bet a lot of money on that, because Giannis is not scoring under 26.5 points this season.
You know what I saw? I was watching the game. He was a monster against Minnesota in the preseason the other night. I was watching the game, and they had a statistic in their broadcast that he, for each of the last four seasons, has improved his scoring by at least 4 points per game.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? That's wild. Yeah. Bet on Giannis for anything you're concerned.
He was pretty high, right? 26, 27 at least.
Yeah, it probably ends this year. Like, it's unrealistic for him to get 4 points better than that. But I just thought that was crazy. Like, you put it in perspective like that, how quickly he's improved. Yeah, and it's pretty much, it was exactly four last year. He was up at 26.9. But yeah, I think he could win MVP easily.
So do I. I appreciate him as the MVP of my podcast. Love him. And now he's a real coach.
Yeah, that helps, as we'll hopefully see with the Suns, but who knows?
Yeah.
Man, it's going to be tough. If you look at the Western Conference and overall with the Suns this year with their win-loss predictions, it's going to be a tough road for Devin Booker. And I'm going to throw it back to you really quickly, Max. What are the odds you think that Devin Booker will be an All-Star this year? I think he's going to take another leap, to be honest. I think he will be one of the top 10 scorers in the NBA again this year. He was tied for 10th last year. And I think he's going to take another step forward in playmaking. But where does that get him as far as All-Star votes go?
It's going to be really tough. I think he's going to get it barely. I think he's going to be an injury replacement. That's going to be my prediction. Because if you look at kind of the back end of it last year, it was Klay Thompson, who didn't really have a great year, but you know, he has name recognition. You have Jimmy Butler in the conference. He's leaving, possibly. That could help. If you have LeBron coming, though, so that could hurt. I mean, it's going to be really, really hard. If he were in the East, it'd be much easier to be like, oh, yeah, easy, breakout season, Devin Booker. But even if Devin Booker breaks out, he might not make it still. I think he's going to have to – one or two things are going to happen. Either the Suns are going to have to surprise and be way better than we expect, which I don't think is going to happen, or Devin Booker is going to just have to be gaudy, right? He's going to have like 29 points a game or like 7 assists a game, 28 a game, something crazy, which I think that's the more likely route. And I'm actually going to predict it. I think Booker's going to put up crazy stats and make the All-Star game. Brendan, what do you think?
I just don't know. Like, a lot of this is respect. Like, we talk a lot of the time about how it happens 1 year too late for a lot of guys, or not too late, but 1 year after it should have. So I wonder if this will be the year. Last year, there were like diehard fans who thought it should happen, and we entertained it, like, you know, kind of just comparing him to the guys who ended up getting it. He wasn't really too much in the conversation, especially because he missed a few games in December and whatnot. But this will be the year, I think, where it's pretty realistic. Maybe it doesn't actually happen until next year, though. But like, who was in it last year? Like, what's...
Just looking at that, and it's really annoying now because they draft teams, so it's hard to figure out who came from the West.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But I'm looking at it, and it looks like Klay was the worst guard in the game, which is not encouraging.
No,
worst Western guard.
But here's the thing: I mean, Butler was in; he could be traded to the East.
He's definitely better than CJ McCollum, I think.
Booker.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think CJ is really in that conversation usually either.
No.
But Draymond was actually kind of bad last year, and he got in as a reserve. And if he's bad again, I don't think he's going to get another like legacy injury.
Yeah, and I think it's hard to imagine Aldridge having as good a year. That was like the best year of his career last year.
You could factor in also DeMar DeRozan as well with him arriving at the guard position. How that factors
right.
That's true, and he'll be far and away the best player on that team. So I would imagine he'll pick up where he left off statistically.
Yeah, that's big. Jimmy Butler also. I think personally, Jimmy Butler shipped to Miami here pretty soon, but I don't know about that.
Yeah, and I mean, after you get past that kind of like maybe list, the other reserves were Towns, Lillard, Westbrook, and Paul George.
And then
the starters is just ridiculous. Steph, Durant, AD is not better than any of those guys. So it's like, unless, I mean, obviously injuries can change, but half the West isn't going to get injured.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, he's really going to have to just put up like numbers you can't ignore, right? Like 30 points a game would get him there.
Yeah. Which is crazy because, I mean, he's going to be as productive as any of these guys. But like I was saying, I mean, these bad teams, players on bad teams just don't get this stuff.
For my predictions, pretty much I have the Suns finishing with 32 wins, so I'm betting on Devin Booker being an All-Star this year. And I've been saying 27-5-7 since May, and I can't back off that now. And I think that will give me the All-Star game. But me and Brendan did our schedule prediction preview episode, I think back in September when the schedule came out. And just looking back on that, I think both of us had less than 20 wins for the Suns at the All-Star break. How much does that also factor in as well? Because the Suns will probably be in the bottom five, maybe even bottom three with the tough schedule early on as far as win-loss record goes.
It's massive, particularly very early on. Maybe not very early on, but kind of around Christmas when everyone starts jumping into the NBA and it becomes the, you know, the main sport people are following. That's when you really need to make your case. So I think the Suns have an incredibly hard stretch to start. I think we play OKC like three times early on. We play Philly. We play a bunch of hard teams, Spurs twice. It's crazy early on. But it softens up a little bit around that all-star stretch. And I think that's where Booker can kind of make his case. But if he doesn't do it there, it's going to be tough.
What do you think, Brennan?
I'm just wondering, too, while we're on the topic of Booker, how much you guys think that the hand injury actually affects him. Not like by February, hopefully, but in these first few games, do you think he'll be his usual self?
I think he's definitely going to defer to DeAndre, and I think he's going to be the second option for the first few games. But I think once a week or so passes, he'll be back to normal. But early on, I think Aiden's the guy as far as offense goes.
Yep, totally agree. He's already kind of making excuses. I think Gina Mazzell reported that he said something about how he's taping his pinky and ring finger, and he might make a shot bad. But I mean, they need him out there. I think he might be hesitant to shoot a little bit. We'll see. He looks pretty good in warmups, right? You guys have seen him a little more than I have in warmups.
Yeah, he's definitely streaky right now. As far as you can tell, it kind of bothers him. He looks down at his hand sometimes and misses his shot, but it's definitely going in for a guy as good of a shooter as Booker is.
So what, you're a yes, Evan. Are you a no, Max, on him making it?
On him making the All-Star game?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm probably just a homer, but yeah, I think he's going to make it.
You do? Okay.
He's going to put up crazy ass stats. I don't think it's going to be because the team's good. I think he's going to do something kind of stupid.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of guys who are going to do that. So I guess.
Yeah, fair.
I'll lock in no, but not just to be contrarian. That was my answer coming in. I'm actually surprised that you guys both were yeses.
Yeah. I mean, looking at my stat number, I'm predicting 27.57, also 40% shooting. For those who don't know, the last two guys that did that in a season were Larry Bird and Stephen Curry, and that's what I'm predicting Devin Booker to do. So that's pretty high aspirations. But before we go on to our next topic of the show, I want to tell you about our new Locked On NBA Twitter page at Locked On NBA Net. It's where you can follow people like me, Brendan, also other national NBA writers like John Krause, Locked On Celtics. See all of our tweets live right as we tweet them. It's a great way to follow along with all the hosts and keep up with, for example, Locked On Mavericks, who they're playing tomorrow night. Nick Angstead, you can follow along with his tweets and see what they're doing as far as podcasts go. It's a great resource to follow, so make sure you go follow at Locked On NBA Net. So now let's go right back into it, Brendan. Let me throw it back your way really quickly, because now we're into our regular predictions part of the show. General NBA thoughts. What do you think as far as playoff predictions? Let's just start there. What do you think about that?
Go with the West?
Yeah, let's go West first.
Okay. Now, I always feel like I'm going to forget a team, even though I know all the teams. Okay, I have Golden State 1. I still have Houston 2. I just can't. I'm not getting off of that until I see that it doesn't work. I trust their development too much that I feel like the guys we're wondering about are just going to work out better than we think. James Ennis, Michael Carter-Williams, even Melo. The 3 seed, I'm a Jazz believer, so I'm going to go Utah there. 4 is where it starts to get interesting to me. I know you've been pounding the Indiana drum. I'm not from New Orleans, but I obviously follow their team and wrote about them for a while. So I'm going to go Pelicans in the 4 spot, which I know people will disagree with. And then I'll have Oklahoma City 5, Denver 6, Lakers 7. I think they just make a trade. I don't love their talent right now. I don't think it fits. They don't have any centers that I love, but I think that the team's just bound to look different and make an end of season push that gets them higher. And then 8. Oof. Yeah. Betting against Portland or San Antonio feels kind of crazy, but I kind of agree with you, Evan. You said before you have Portland out. I'm going to go with San Antonio in that eighth spot just because I think they're a regular season machine and I don't see that changing even with their injuries. So there it is. I hadn't actually like crystallized it until right this instant. I made myself do it on the spot like that, but that seems reasonable. I don't think anything outside of the Pelicans is too crazy.
No, that's pretty reasonable. It's almost near mine, a couple of different ones, but Max, let me throw your way before I go back to mine.
Yeah, just if you want something, it's going to be like an unreasonable sandwich because the middle of your tour is going to be extremely unreasonable. Before I say this, I want to say two things. The first thing is I kind of think this is going to be exactly like the 2009-10 season. I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember this season like I am. But and that was the last season the Suns made the playoffs. And the one seed that season, the Lakers had 57 wins. The eighth seed, OKC, had 50 wins. The seven-game spread between the one and the eighth seed. I don't think it's going to be quite that crazy this year, but it's going to be crazy. I think this is going to be a super packed conference, a lot of good teams, all like in the same bunch.
Yeah, not a lot of tanking this year, which impacts the really high-end win totals like Houston having 65 last year.
Yep, I don't think anyone's winning that in the Western. I think it's going to be 57-56 as the top win total. The other thing I'll say is I don't like model this out like statistically. This is just kind of like how I feel this team's going in. So if I were actually betting on this, I probably wouldn't make this ranking. But this is kind of just how I feel with this team. It's for fun. Anyway, I say that because it's going to be crazy. So my one seed is the OKC Thunder.
Ooh.
And I say that because I just love the way this team built around Westbrook and George. I think it's perfect. They put the perfect athleticism around them, the defense. And as I say this, they're currently giving Golden State a game in Golden State without Westbrook, without Roberson. So I feel a little vindicated.
Yeah, it looks good right now. Just stay on it.
Yeah, they need to be a little healthier, though. The Warriors I have too, even though I think they're not going to care very much and probably will have injuries. They're just kind of default there. I have the Pelicans 3, so I'm even higher than you are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just think AD wins MVP?
I think he's going to be second to Giannis. I think they're going to have like – it's going to be one of those MVP battles where they're both like in the race and everyone's having an opinion on it. You know what I mean?
Kind of like the Westbrook. That'll be so fun. Talk about different guys this year instead of is LeBron going to play 82 games and how who was great on the Warriors. Like I'm ready for a new MVP battle like that.
So am I, although I do have the Lakers 4. So LeBron's probably going to be in the conversation. I just think LeBron's be really fun with those athletic guys. He'll just get, you know, that team will be pretty good. Denver 5, Utah 6. I like Utah. I think this seems kind of low for them, but it's just because, again, I have these teams really close. 7, I have Minnesota / Portland. And it's going to depend on, for me, whether or not Jimmy Butler stays all season. If he stays all season, I think they're going to be really good because Butler seems like he's on a mission this year. If he leaves, though, they're going to have some trouble. So that'll be Portland. And then I think the team everyone's waiting for. I have Houston 8. I don't like what they've done this offseason at all. I get bad vibes from them. CP3 just signed that giant extension. Is he going to be healthy? Because he's often not. They're very reliant on him. I don't know. I just have bad feelings with them. Obviously, if they're healthy all season, they will not be at the 8th seed. They'll be much higher. But I'm just nervous about them.
Yeah, do you guys see that they might – and I don't even know about might. It seems like they will start Gordon.
Wow. I think they kind of have to, right? Who else are they going to start?
Yeah, I guess you could start Ennis, but maybe they just don't feel good about that. That just shocked me. That seems like it's a – I get, you know, they're all on the court at the same time. It's not a super big burden, but having those guys all three play big minutes all season seems like a bad recipe for the playoffs.
But I know people like Ennis a lot, but he's been on a lot of bad teams. You never know how it's going to translate when they go to a good team. And maybe they don't like what they've seen out of him. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Ennis is kind of a guy, if you're expecting to replace Trevor Ariza, that's kind of a really bad bet to me, I think. I don't think Ennis is even close to a guy like Ariza. But going into my predictions here, I have Golden State number one. I don't think it's that close this season. I think Golden State kind of runs away with a couple-game lead atop the West. Number two, unlike Max, I have the Houston Rockets. I still think they are still near the top of the West at number two overall. Number three, I have Utah. I'm buying in on Donovan Mitchell and also Quinn Snyder. Rudy Gobert, I think, is going to be a Defensive Player of the Year candidate this year. Denver Nuggets at number four overall. I think Nikola Jokic himself is going to be an MVP candidate. I think he's going to be in the top five. I think he's going to be averaging near 20, probably 25, 10, and 7. That's probably not out of the question with a guy like him. But then number five, Oklahoma City. I think that Andre Roberson's injury early on might affect them. But like you said, Max, they're getting them a game in Golden State without Westbrook. So maybe I am wrong on them here at five. Maybe it's a little too low. Number six, the Los Angeles Lakers. I think LeBron James is the greatest player of all time. We can debate about that off the air if you guys want to in my Twitter mentions. But I think he's going to drag this team, the younger team, to the playoffs. Six seed feels realistic for me. Number seven, New Orleans, Anthony Davis. I feel like they're going to have the same season as last year, even though Davis will probably be even better. And I think this kind of leads into a trade request from Anthony Davis this summer. Number eight is the Spurs. I'm not going to, like you said earlier, Brennan, I'm not betting at all against Greg Popovich.
Yeah, we're almost exactly the same.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, I think it might have been exactly the same.
I feel like I'm almost the exact same as you guys too, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't have Houston 8.
But that was a joke.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Spurs, I'm just nervous about the injuries they just had. They just don't have a point guard anymore. But Patty Mills is like it. I'm just nervous about that.
Let's go to the East now, and I guess I'll start off first, and I'll throw it out right away. I think Toronto is going to be the first seed. I think Kawhi Leonard's going to win the MVP this year over a guy like Giannis and Anthony Davis. I think he's going to have a breakout year in Toronto. So I'll go Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors are number one overall in the East. The number two, Boston Celtics. I think Jason Tatum is going to be an all-star this year alongside Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. Number three, Indiana Pacers. I'm not backing off my claims earlier about them being a sleeper finals candidate. I still believe that with the shooting they had this year with Tyreek and Doug McDermott. Number four, the 76ers. I think Ben Simmons, like I said earlier, might be an MVP candidate himself if he plays like he did tonight. Number five, Milwaukee Bucks. I think Budenholzer helps a lot, but I still think that they kind of underperformed, so to say. I think there's a lot of too much hype on the Bucks right now, but maybe I'm completely wrong on that. Number six, the Miami Heat. I think they trade for Jimmy Butler sometime in the next 2 months, and then they go on a playoff run. Number seven, the Washington Wizards. And I think this is kind of the beginning of the end for a guy like John Wall, and I'm going to predict that he ends up in Detroit or Orlando by next year. And then number eight is the Detroit Pistons with Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond.
I can't think of anything more depressing than John Wall in Detroit or Orlando.
Yeah, you're basically just saying he's going to not enjoy his life this time next year?
Pretty much. I mean, once you see that contract, I mean, who's going to pay that guy?
Hopefully not Phoenix.
Oh, man.
All right, you go, Max. You're the guest.
Okay, this is much more reasonable, I promise. I have Boston as the one seed in the East. I think they're going to be they're going to have the highest win total in the league, I think. They're going to be a really good regular season team. Milwaukee too. I just think Giannis is going to explode. I said earlier, MVP for me. Coach Bud, Coach of the Year probably. They're just going to be really, really good regular season also. Toronto 3, I think they're going to be better in the playoffs than Milwaukee, but it might take a little while for them to figure it out. Evan, I like your Kawhi Leonard MVP pick. I think if he comes into the season like he was before, that's a really good pick because he'll probably get it. Philadelphia 4, I like Philadelphia a lot. The talent's crazy. I just even tonight kind of accentuated why I'm a little worried about them. The offense just doesn't make a ton of sense. They don't have the right pieces around Simmons and Embiid right now.
Yeah, I feel like Redick starts like by Christmas.
Yeah, totally. Maybe way before that, actually.
Yeah.
I think he started the second half tonight, right?
Yeah, they said that they're going to do that, though.
Yeah, they should probably do that both halves.
Yeah, I agree.
I actually have Charlotte 5th. I think Charlotte's going to be a little better than expected. I like Borrego. I like what I've seen out of them in the preseason. Indiana 6, not because I don't like them. Evan, I agree with you. They're really good. I just like the teams above them a little more. Washington 7, they just have a lot of talent. The talent should be higher than this. I just, I don't know. You put Austin Rivers and Dwight Howard on our team that already has chemistry problems. We'll see. And then Miami, I have 8. You just have to trust the infrastructure, and they'll probably be higher if they get Butler, but this assumes no Butler.
All right. Yeah, the East is going to be fun this year. I'm excited about a lot of different teams. Okay. I got Boston 1, too. I just think it's not even going to be really that close, in my opinion. I think they'll have a pretty good cushion up there. There's just the other teams all have questions. They don't really have any questions. If your biggest question is how can an all-star fit back into your team after an injury, I think you're in a pretty good spot. 2, I have Toronto. 3, Philadelphia. 4, I have the Bucks, 5 Indiana. I'll go 6 Washington. I feel like the bottom of the East, I mean, they should be so much better every single season, and they just aren't. But maybe if everybody's healthy from day one, that makes a difference. I don't know. I want them to be better, so I'm just going to guess it because the bottom is so clogged. 7, I'm actually going to go Detroit 7. I actually think the Blake Andre Drummond thing, I'm interested to see how it works. There were some games last year that were really fun with those two guys together, and I think Blake's healthy and both Drummond's trying to shoot threes. Like, they're trying to make it work. Casey's a good coach. We'll see what happens. And then 8, I got to go with Miami too. Even if they don't trade for Butler, like, they have probably 12 good players on their team and really well coached. They're not going to lose enough games to not be in the playoffs. So yeah, I think that wraps it up. I like Charlotte too, but I just wonder what their upside is, unless Malik Monk is just out of nowhere good.
Or Bridges. I think that plus Bridges, I would say, yeah, that's going to be a big part of it. Also, Batum's health, I'd like to see him be a little more like he was a couple years ago than last year.
That's true. I want them to be good because I think they're really fun to watch when all their pieces are working, and they have some more youth now than they did a few years ago. But I guess I just feel like we've seen the ceiling, and I don't know if that's as good as the rest of the
conference. Not a big Willie Hernan Gomez fan?
Yeah, no, not so much. Yeah, one of Zach Lowe's predictions was that he becomes a backup center, and I was like, I think the article should have ended before this one.
Yeah, right. That's a little too far to the crazy prediction.
Yeah, that's not too crazy. I don't think there's really much riding on the backup center in Charlotte. But
hey, Brennan, really quickly, I was thinking about this while you were talking there about an interesting question as far as pre-agency goes, as far as the trends in the past 2-3 years of stars are questioning trades. I might as well throw it your way because I was thinking of it myself, and I'll answer last, I guess, and let Max go after you. Who do you think is going to be the next disgruntled star who asks out next summer? And that could easily impact the Suns.
That's a good question.
I mean, I think you believe Stephen A. Smith, it's Anthony Davis.
Well, yeah, okay. Everybody's been saying Anthony Davis for who knows how long. I mean, I think the easy one is just Lillard. We already talked about it, but he just seems the most likely. He's also the best player of all of the highly paid, frustrating team guys. John Wall, like, yes, you could have said Blake, but he already got traded. I think he's just the best of that group, and so I think he actually has the ability to swing a team in a way that some of those other guys don't. So I think he's an MVP candidate a year ago. So, I mean, I would be really excited if that happened in Phoenix. It's a lot of projection, but I think it just seems like we were already almost there once before he had that meeting with the owner. And if they underperform, then I think we could be right back there again.
Max, I think we're on the same page as far as Anthony Davis goes. So before I even throw it your way, what would it even take for obviously Anthony Davis is not going to have Phoenix on his short list. It's going to be teams like New York, Philadelphia, Boston, LA. Would you risk it all if you're James Jones and just throw everything out there except Booker and Aiden for a year of Anthony Davis and see what happens?
Yes. Yes, I would trade everything on the team for sure.
If he actually gets dealt, like, it's not even comparable to Paul George or Kawhi Leonard. That would be like the biggest package we've ever seen. You know what I mean? That, like, to get a realistic perennial MVP candidate in his prime. Oof.
Well, yeah, and by the way, if it happens, he's going to Boston. That's where he's going.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no other team that would be able to offer anything close, and there's not really a better team to go to if you're him. So,
yeah. Matt, what do you think, though, Max? If you're on the table with the Suns, what would it take to even get a guy like Anthony Davis? You're thinking about tonight, like, Boston has all these assets. What gets him even in the discussion?
I think you offer everything besides Booker and Ayton, and they say, sorry, we're taking Boston's offer. That's just kind of how I feel about it, unfortunately. I mean, I would love to get Anthony Davis. Obviously, he's incredible. I just don't think that any team has the assets. Maybe if Philadelphia wants to throw either Simmons or Embiid at the table, maybe, but I don't think they're going to do that. Like, that's the thing. If you want to get Anthony Davis, you trade Booker or Ayton. That's who you're trading.
Exactly. You're not going to get it. That's what I was just going to say. It's, you would have to trade Ayton, and I don't think the Suns really would do that. I don't know if that even makes a whole ton of sense. So
Yeah.
They just don't have the package.
They would have traded the number one pick for Davis, but I don't think once you draft Ayton and you do the whole everyone falls in love with Ayton, you sell the jerseys. At this point, they're committed. They're not going to trade Ayton for him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They might have traded the number one pick for Towns, but they're not going to trade Ayton for Towns.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, I think most realistically, probably like you said, Brendan, Damian Lillard for someone like Jackson, Bridges, and a couple first round picks makes a lot of sense for both sides. But anything else you wanted to hit on, or Max? Anything else you guys want to
talk about? I will throw out, because I didn't give it a prediction, I'm just going to old star. I don't think it makes a lot of sense for Phoenix, but everyone's talking about John Wall. John Wall's kind of locked in there. What about Bradley Beal? I mean, obviously he and John Wall don't get along. It wouldn't shock me if he asked out of there.
Yeah, that's true. They fit together so well, but the questions about their relationship kind of just went away. Like, they aren't a public topic anymore, but I don't necessarily think that that means that they're just buddies.
It seems like a truce or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Real quickly, I mean, we've seen it with CJ McCollum rumors before. I know Jonathan Trark's on here in the summer and said that he'd love to see CJ and Booker together as a backcourt. Would Beal and Booker make sense long-term as a backcourt?
If Booker's like an incredible playmaker this year, maybe. But right now, they're basically the same player. Booker's just a little better.
Yeah. I like it more than CJ just because – I think the defense is a little better, so I think Beal's a better defender, more athletic than CJ. But yeah, I agree with Brendan. It's going to require a giant playmaking leap from Booker to make that work.
Alrighty, hey, I know, Max, you run your own podcast. Before we let you go, let's have you plug whatever you want as far as 7 Seconds or Less goes.
Sure. We're at 7SOLPod on Twitter. We're going to react to the Dallas Phoenix game tomorrow, as I'm sure you guys are also. That's going to be fun, right? I'm excited for that game. Could they have scheduled a better game than Doncic versus Ayton night one for us?
No, it's going to be great.
It's great.
But so we're going to react to that. That'll be the next morning. I'm sure you guys will be in front of us because you guys are in front of everybody. Look out for that. And thanks so much, Brendan, Evan. Love when you guys have me on it. It's always fun.
For sure. Yeah, go subscribe to their pod. It's great. There's a lot of – all of a sudden, there's a bunch of good, fun Suns pods. So – there's room for all of them. Listen to all of them. Subscribe to all of them, especially 7 Seconds or Less.
Yeah, that'll be it for today's episode, guys. We are now less than, looking at my clock, 18 hours away from, actually probably more like 20 hours away from Suns basketball. But anyways, we'll be back with you guys tomorrow live from Talk City Resort Arena. Brendan and I will be there right after the press conference. We'll talk to you guys for about 15 to 20 minutes after the game about what happened. So we'll talk to you.